Begin the current daf, Pesachim daf nun dal. Begin 6 lines down from the time of the Amid, where the Gemara continues the discussion in the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes regarding when do we make a bracha on fire, when we make the bracha b'rimer ha'esh. Is that only on Matzah Shabbos, or is it even on Matzah Megippurim? And the last opinion the Gemara ended off with, based on the incident that was quoted, was that we don't only make a bracha on Matzah Shabbos, but even on Matzah Megippurim, which the Gemara continues right now and asks, Mesa, we learned the Brisa that seems to contradict this. We learned, Ein mevarchen alaur, El b'matzah Shabbos, we do not make a bracha on fire to make the bracha b'rimer ha'esh. The only time we do is on Matzah Shabbos. And the reason why that's more distinct than any other end of a Yom Tov is Ha'ilu Tchilas Briyasu. That was the beginning of when fire was created. B'kivit Shorei, and therefore once you see it on Matzah Shabbos, Mevarach Miyad, you make the bracha right away. That's one opinion. Rabbi Hudaimer, he says, no, Sajjan Alakais. You organize it in order on a cup of wine on Matzah Shabbos when you're making Havdalah, and then you make the bracha by Mareish. You don't make it if you see the first fire to make the bracha. Rather, you do it in order on the cup. Now, V'am Rabbi Yochanan, Lachak Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yochanan, who was in the incident that was quoted before on the top of this Amud from the previous staff, was the one that had said in that story that was quoted that said you make a bracha on Matzah Shabbos and Matzah Megippurim on the fire. Yet here it seems to be clearly contradicted. Rabbi Yochanan says, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda, who all the opinions in this brisa say that we only make the bracha of Bar Maresh on Matzah Shabbos. So how do we understand? Do we make the bracha on only Matzah Shabbos or even the Matzah Megippurim? The other thing about it is loy kasha, because it depends what type of fire that you have to know if it's only on Matzah Shabbos or even the Matzah Megippurim. And that is kan ba'ur shavas. Here we're talking about where the fire was shavas, that it had rested over that time period. And that is, you had the fire on Shabbos that was lit on Shabbos. However, it was shavas, it had rested from a lighting of an aveira that was a prohibited fire. That because it was lit in a permitted fashion, for example, for a woman that had just given birth, or someone that's ill, or let's say a candle that was lit from before Yom Kippurim, you can make a bracha, not only on Matzah Shabbos, even on Matzah Yom Kippurim, because that bracha is not based on the same concept that is on the Matzah Shabbos concept. Rather, it's based on because it's a bracha of something of a chiddush, of a newness, because this was something that we were not allowed to have hana from creation of a fire throughout this whole Yom Kippurim, throughout this whole Shabbos, which is unlike Yom Tov, which you could make a fire that you could have based on the heter of Eichel Nefesh. And therefore, if it's a Ursha Shabbos that had been lit from before Yom Kippurim, or that was lit on Shabbos in a permitted way, that would be made even on Matzah Yom Kippurim. Kan b'ur ha'yitzim and ha'yitzim and ha'vanim. When did we say that it's only a Matzah Shabbos that we can make a bracha b'yomer esh on the fire? That was a fire that was made right now from wood or from stones, and that can only be made on Matzah Shabbos, not Matzah Megippurim, because that is based on the principle of that it was created now, just like the original fire was created on Matzah Shabbos, and therefore that resolves the contradiction, and that's why the fire from Matzah Megippurim to make the bracha has to be that it was Shabbos, that it was already lit from before Yom Kippurim. Similarly, the Gemara brings Tana Chada, we learn in one brisa, that Urha Yitzim and the Eitzim and Min Avadim Avarchalam, that the fire that comes out from wood and from stones, in other words, that they made the fire right now, you rub it together, you create fire, you could make the bracha on such a fire. And with Tana Chada, we learn another brisa, the Eim Avarchalam, you can't make a bracha on such a fire. How do we understand that? Now the Gemara says, Leikasha, exactly what we just said before, Kan B'matzah Shabbos. When did we say you can make a bracha, even if you made the fire right now, you lit the fire, you struck the match? That's Matzah Shabbos. That's because, that's based on the principle of fire that was created now. So it could be created right now and make the bracha. Kama Matzah Megippurim, when did we say you cannot make a bracha on such a fire? That was the end of Yom Kippur, which that's based on a different principle because the fire wasn't made on Matzah Megippurim. Rather, it's based on because this is something that we weren't able to have hana from up until now, the creation of a fire. Now we could, so we make a special bracha on that. That's Matzah Megippurim. Now, related to the halacha that we had mentioned in that braisa, about do you make the bracha on Bar Mirah Esh right the second you see the first fire, or do you wait till you get the whole cup of wine and the besamim and organize together? So the Gemara brings different customs that Rebbe Mefazrin. Rebbe would have them all this spread out, and that is when he saw fire, he would make a bracha right away. When they would bring him besamim at a later point in time, then he would make the bracha on the besamim. Whereas Rebbe Chiya Mechanser, Rebbe Chiya would gather them together, he would do them all in order on the cup of wine. Like Rashi says, the way we do it, we don't do each one separately, we do it in order of the cup of wine, the Besamim and the Bar Mirah Esh. Amar Bisach Bar Avdimi. that Ava Pishu Rebbe Mefazman, although Rebbe did do it out of order and that he had it spread out, he would do this now and that later, but Chayzer Besoydin Al Kreis, he would go back and organize all of them and together on the cup of wine, Kedei Lahaitzi Banav Ebenei Vesei, so that he could fulfill the Chiyav for his children, that they should have the Chiyav, he would go ahead and make it for them all together in one. But now the Gemara goes back to asking what we had mentioned before. V'or b'matzah Shabbos Ivri, is it really true? And that's why we said that regarding matzah Shabbos, unlike matzah Mikipurim, you can make even on a new fire, because that's exactly when the fire was actually created, was a matzah Shabbos. Is that really so? But v'tanya learned in the Braisa, asar dvarim nivru be'erev Shabbos ben Hashmashah. There are 10 things that were created on Friday night in the twilight period when it's going from Friday to Shabbos. And one of them is going to be the difficulty in what we're saying over here, that it was not on Friday ben Hashmashah, but rather we said it was on matzah Shabbos. Elohim, these are Be'er. This is the well, which is a reference to the Be'er of Miriam, which there was a rock that had water come out through Moshe bringing forth that water. And that was in the Schus of Miriam. And it was round and it rolled throughout with them in the desert where they used to go. That was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. The Haman and the Mun, which they ate in the Midbar. The Keshes and the rainbow. Ksav, which are the engraving of the letters of the Torah. Umichtav. And that's the pen that was used to engrave the letters of the Torah in the luchas, the haluchas, and the actual tablets themselves, the kivri shel Moshe and the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu, uma'arash amid by Moshe and the cave where Moshe stood, and that is as the pasuk in Shemayis Lamed Gimel says that besamtich benikras etzel, place you in the hole of the rock ad avri until I pass by. And Eliyahu, and similarly regarding the cave of Eliyahu, that it says in Malachim Aleph Yotes, Vayelech ad Hara Likim Chayev, and then he came into the cave and then he stayed there. Again, these are both the same, the reference of where the caves that they went into when the Shechina was in the area. Psichas Pia Asin, the opening of the mouth of the donkey, which spoke to Bilam. Upsichas Pia Aris Lavloyas Risham, and the opening of the ground that was there to swallow up the evil people, which is a reference to the gathering of Kairach. These 10 things were all created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. Reb Nechemya Ibn B'Shemavi says the name of his father, Afhor, so to fire, and this is the contradiction that it was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, Vaperet and a mule. And that is, as Rashi says, there's as the quoting the Pasuk of Enka Chodesh Tachas Shabbos, there's nothing new that wasn't already there in the creation. And the first mule, although a mule is really a mixture of two different animals, the first mule was created from the ground and not from the clayim, from the admixture of two different types of animals. And that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. Rabbi Yishayim and Mishum Aviv, he says the name of his father, that Af Ha'ayil, so to the ram of Avram Avinu, which was when he wanted to bring the Akedah of his son Yitzchak, instead he brought the ram, Vahashamir, and that was a type of a worm, that nothing, no matter how hard it was able to stand in front of this worm, that it shouldn't be cracked open. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech used to build the Beis HaMikdash, because you weren't able to chop the stones. So that was what the purpose of the Shamir was. That was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. Rabbi Huda says, Af HaTzvas. Also, the tongs made out of iron, that was made Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. And he used to say, as an explanation of this, why that was, because Tzavsa, that the smiths use, these tongs that are used to hold these burning hot things, but Tzavsa Misavsa, those tongs were made by other tongs before them, because how can you actually, you can't hold those things, it must have been held by tongs themselves. So then the question is asked, so who made the first tongs? In other words, who can hold that when that's burning hot to make that? There was a tongue before that held that one, but who made the first one? So what you have to say, obviously, is that that it was something created by heaven, and that's like what his opinion was, that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. But Amalei said to him, what do you mean? It's not a raya. It's possible to make the first tongs, or any tongs, in a mold by pouring in the hot molten lead, and as they make silver and they make copper vessels, and via kvanda kevin, you can make it exactly as it should be, precisely, and holoi, and therefore, you could say is, bari b'diadami, that is created by people, and therefore there's no raya that it was, the first tzavsa was made, ben hashmashas. But either way, the ultimate steer that the Gemara is asking is, that we said the or is the reason why Matzah Shabbos, it can be made from new fire, is because that's when fire was created. Yet here we have, as is brought down over here, in the Braisa, that it was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. Another thing where it says Leikash, that's not a difficulty. Because Hab or Didan, we were talking about our fire was on Matzah Shabbos. Ha, with this, Reb Nechemi was talking about was Be'or de Gehenim. That was the fire of Gehenim. That was created, as the Gemara says, or Didan be Matzah Shabbos. Our fire was created on Matzah Shabbos. Or de Gehenim be Erev Shabbos. However, the fire of Gehenim, that was created on Erev Shabbos be'in Hashemashes. To which the Gemara asks, Be'or de Gehenim be Erev Shabbos. Is it really true, as we're trying to resolve right now, that the fire of Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos be'in Hashemashes? But V'tani, we'll learn the Braisa. Shiva Dvarim Nivru Kaidim Shinivru. And there were seven things that were created before the world was created. And these are the fundamental underpinnings of the world. Ve'elohen, and these are them. Tyra, that is the Tyra itself. The Tshuva and repentance. The Gan Eden and the Garden of Eden. The Gehenim and Purgatory. The Kisar Kavod and the Throne of Glory. Ubeis HaMikdash and the Holy Temple. Ushmei Shemashiach and Mashiach, the Messiah's name, as the Gemara brings. Tyra, the Chsiv, as we have a pasuk in Mishlei that says, Hashem Kanani Reishas Dark, and the Tyra says, Hashem made me the first of his paths. In other words, before all the other paths, that the Tyra was created before all the paths of the world. Now Rashi addresses, although we just said before, from the 10 things that were made Erev Shabbos, and one of them was Haksav, which was the letters of the Torah, and here we're saying the Torah was before the world, is that's talking about, on Erev Shabbos, was the letters of the tablets, of the Luches, that were given by Har Sinai. And that what we're talking about over here, that the Torah was before the world, is that the Torah was originally written on black fire, on white fire, and that's what we're talking about, there was Eish Shechara, Eish Levana, that part of the Torah, the esoteric part of the Torah, was there even before the world was created, whereas the actual letters, that was created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashemashes. Now the Gemara moves on Tshuva. Where do we know that Tshuva was created before the world? The Chassidus says, a pasuk in Tehillim, Peterim Harm Yuladu, before the mountains were, so to speak, born, before they were created, then you already had created the Midah of Tshuva. Uchsiv, because as it says within the pasuk, Tashev Enish Adaka, that you will return man to a pulp, which means until he has to the duchei shel nefesh, until he comes to the most humility part of his soul. But time ran, and you say shuv v'nei adam, that man should do tshuva. So we see that this was from before, but terem ha'milad, before the mountains, before the world was there, tshuva was already brought into the world. Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. How do we know that was before the world? Except like it says, a pasuk in Bereishis, V'yita Hashem Elikim Gan Be'edim Mikedim, that Hashem planted a Garden of Eden from before. Now, as Rashi says, the word Mikedim can be read Muktam, which was it was before the world itself. Gehenim, the Chsiv. How do we know Gehenim was before the world? Like it says, a pasuk in Yeshayah, Ki Aruch Mi'etbon, because it's already prepared from before. That is before the world was Tafte. Tafte is a reference to Gehenim because it's from the word of pitoy, of being seduced. Whoever is seduced by his inclination, he falls there, he falls in Gehenim, and that was Aruch Mi'etmul, that was already prepared from before the world. Kisya Kavru Beis HaMikdash, how do you know about these two, the throne of glory and Beis HaMikdash, that they were before the world? Like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyah, Kisya Kavru, the throne of glory, Moroi Merishin, was elevated from the beginning, from before. Makai Mikdashenu, the place of our temple, and that it's saying that just like the throne of glory, so too the Beis HaMikdash was created from before. And finally, Shmoshe Mashiach, Dechsev. And how do we know the name of Mashiach? As it says, a pasuk in Tehillim. Yehi Shmai Le'olam, his name should be forever. Lifnei Shemesh, Inan Shmai, before the sun, meaning before the world, his name was mentioned, as mentioned in a Gemara elsewhere, that the name of Mashiach is Zinon, and that was created before the world. But ultimately, what the Gemara is asking is, that here we said that Gehenim was before the world. So how can we say that the fire of Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos, Beit Nashmashes, and that our fire was Matzah Shabbos? And that the Gemara says, Amri, it's not a contradiction, because Chalala, the space, the area of Gehenim, who did never create Shnivar, that was created before the world was created. However, Urdi Dei Be'erev Shabbos, the fire of Gehenim, that was created in Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemashes. But then the Gemara asks on that, V'Urdi Dei Be'erev Shabbos, is it really true that the fire part of Gehenim was created on Erev Shabbos? But V'Tanya Lo'in Abraiser, B'Yisi and B'Yisi says, Ur Shebar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shein V'Shabbos, the fire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on the second day of the week of Maaseh Bereishis, Ein L'Kviel Olam, will never be extinguished, and that's because it is the fire of Gehenim, which never gets extinguished. So now, like it says in the pasuk in Yeshayah, V'Yatzu, and they will go out, V'Ro'u B'Figri HaNoshim HaPoishim, and they'll see the corpses of those who had sinned against me, Ki Selasim Lo Yisamus, because their things that they have done wrong will never expire, V'Ashram Lo Yisichpa, and their sin will never be extinguished. Again, showing this idea that fire, the punishment of theirs, will never be extinguished. similar to this concept of that this fire, which obviously the fire of Cain was created on the second day of Maisa Bereishis. Why every day Maisa Bereishis says that Hashem saw that it was good? Besides on Yom Sheni, doesn't say that. And they should never buy Ursha Gehenna because that's the day that the fire of Gehenna was created. However, for Amr Belazar, that Afa Pishalei Nema by Kitav, even though it doesn't say explicitly on that day Kitav, Chazar Vakalei Bashishi was then re-included in being called Taiv, again, because there is a certain element of Taiv, because that's where the Risham, the evil people, get judged, which is a good thing. And therefore, it was re-included on the sixth day. Shneimar says, a pasuk in Bereishis, V'yara Elokim es kol ha'asa, and God saw everything that he had made, including the second day and the fire of Gehenna. V'hinei Taiv Ma'aren was very good. But al kaponim, what we do see is that the fire of Gehenna was not made on Erev Shabbos. We said the halal, the eerie of Gehenna, was before the world. Now, on the second day already was when the fire was made. So what was on Erev Shabbos, Ben HaShemashes? Obviously our fire, but we're saying our fire was made on Matzah Shabbos. So therefore the Gemara strings it all together. It says, Ela Chalala, rather the space of Gehenna was created in the world. That was before the world was created. V'ur Didei B'Sheinim HaShabbos. And the fire of Gehenna was already made on the second day of creation. V'ur Didan, and our fire, our regular earthly fire, B'machshava Olali Varis B'Erev Shabbos. When we said it was created on Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashes, we said that it entered, so to speak, God's thought to then create on Erev Shabbos. But V'lei Nivra Matzah Shabbos, but ultimately it was not created Bepoil, Bemaisa, in action in this world until Matzah Shabbos, as we had said before. The Tanya, like we learned the Brice, Rabbi Yisrael says, Shnei Dvarim Olu B'machshava Livaris B'Erev Shabbos. It had entered Hashem's machshava to create these two things on Erev Shabbos, on Friday. V'lei Nivra Matzah Shabbos, however, they were not created until after Shabbos. Uva Matzah Shabbos, in Matzah Shabbos, Nasna Kadosh Baruch Hu Deya B'Adam Rishon. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave the thought process to Adam Rishon, similar to the form of what's in that more elevated status. And so he brought two stones, and he grinded them together, he was rubbing them together to make this fire, and that was the first thing that was supposed to be Erev Shabbos, that Olah B'machshavta, but it was made on Matzah Shabbos, that he gave that das to Adam Rishon to do it, and he created the fire. And the second one is the Havishti Behemoth, and they brought two different animals, specifically a horse and a donkey. The Hirkiv Zubazu, and he mated them, the Yotzman parrot, and through that combination came out a mule. And therefore that resolves the contradiction that yes, our fire was Allah B'machshava on Friday, Erev Shabbos, Bein HaShemashes, but ultimately it was only created on Matzah Shabbos, and that's why on Matzah Shabbos we can use a new fire, because that's actually when Adam Rishon discovered who had created on some level this element of fire. However, regarding this last thing that we said of the parrot that was created by Adam Rishon after Shabbos, Pshimim Leilaimer, he argues and he says, parrot b'me'anahaya. The mule was only created, was only joined together by the horse and the donkey at a later point in time in the days of Anna. Shneimar says in Bereishis that who Anna, this is Anna, asher matza esayim b'midbar, that he found the mules in the desert. And related to this, the Gemara brings that Dershei Chamurish, those who expound the difficult, the closed psukim that are enigmatic, they said that Anna pasul haya. This Anna, he had a certain invalidity to him. Lefika chevi pasul, and therefore he brought things that are pasul to the world. Shem, like it says a pasul in Bereishis. It says Ela b'nei Seir hachayri. These are the sons of Seir hachayri. And the pasuk in Bereishis lamed vav chaf ends off. These are those who settled in the land Loitein and Shevel v'tzivoin v'ana. And therefore, it sounds like that Sivan and Anna are brothers. They were both sons of Seir HaChayri. Yet, it says in the Pasuk, Eila b'nei Tzivan. These are the sons of Tzivan. V'ayah v'Anna. Now, it sounds like that Anna was Tzivan's son. So, was he his son or was he his brother? Elam Alam, rather, this teaches, Shebat Tzivan Alimoy. Tzivan had relations with his mother. V'hoylid b'mena Anna. And he gave birth to Anna, who, yes, he was his brother because they had the same mother, but he was his son too, and therefore he was a pasul, and that's why he also brought psul into the world by creating this parrot, which is this combination of two different types of animals that they weren't kept in their pure lineage, and therefore creating a pasul. On this, the Gemara asks, how do you know about this drasha? V'dimotrei anahava. Maybe there were two different Anas. You're saying, you're pointing out that it was a pasul because on the one hand we're calling Anna his brother and then we're calling him his son. Maybe there were two different, maybe an uncle and a nephew had the same name. On that, the Gemara says, Amar Rava says, Amina Milsa Dishver Malkala Amar. I'm going to say something that King Shavur didn't say. Umanu, and who is this? Shmuel, it's a reference to Shmuel. In other words, Rava called Shmuel King Shavur. That's because he was Shmuel was very proficient in the laws of Dinin, of Chayshim Mishpat, and that therefore the halacha always follows Shmuel and Dinim in laws. And that, on some level, is like the word of the king, that whatever he says is the law of the land. And at that time, the king of the Persians was called King Shavur. That was his name in the times of Rava. So he was using it as a point of reference to keep called Shmuel, King Shavur, just like he's like the king. And whatever he says is the law, so too that Shmuel. But I'm going to say something that even Shmuel didn't say. Ikadam, let's say a different version of who said this. Then Amar Papa, Rav Papa said, Amina Milsa de Shavur Malkalam. I'm going to say something that even King Shavur didn't say. Umanoi, and who is this a reference to? That's to Rava. Either way, the drasha was to show that it's the same Ana as Amakra. The Pasuk says, Hu Ana. It says, He's Ana. What does that mean? Hu Ana Dimikara. It means to say it's the same Ana that was mentioned before. That's Hu Ana. What do you mean, who that is? It's the same Ana we mentioned before, and therefore you have to say that he was apostle, because before it was sounding like he's his brother, and now it's making it sound like he's his son. So, Tanabon Nirban, the Gemara quotes the Brice that we mentioned before, and then it'll add on other things that were included in this category of things that created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. So, Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. There were 10 things that were created Friday at twilight, going from Friday into Shabbos. Ve'eluhen, and these are again Be'er, the well of Miriam that was in the desert, Uman, and the man that was there in the Midbar, Be'keshes, and the rainbow, Haksav, which was the words on the luchas, v'hamichtav, and that was the tool that was used to form the words on the luchas, v'haluchas, and the actual tablets themselves, kivish al Moshe, the burial place of Moshe, u'ma'ara sh'amad ba'Moshe v'Eliyahu, and the actual cave which Moshe and Eliyahu stood in, p'sichas pi'as, and the opening of the mouth of the donkey that spoke back to Bilam, u'p'sichas pi'as l'v'layas ha'Rasham, and the opening of the mouth to swallow the Rasham, that was by the Adas of Kairach. Now, Yeshem, that those that say, Af maklis shel Aaron, even the staff of Aaron, the stick, shkeideho, its almonds, uprocha, and its blossoms, which was there, in that there was a nest that they, to show after the whole thing of Kairach, to show that Aaron was chosen by Hashem, they took all the sticks of all the different shvatim, and Aaron's stick blossomed, that was also created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. The Yeshem, and some say, Af mazikin, even these harmful spirits that are in the world, they were also created on Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. The Yeshem, and some say, Af, even if we continue on Talmud Beis, Big Dishal Adam Arishan, the garments of Adam Arishan, which had engraved in them all the different types of wild and domestic animals on those garments, and that was then later given over to Nimrod, and that's why it says, Kenimrod Giber Tzai, that he was a mighty warrior that was able to capture all the animals, again, because of these garments that had all the animals on it. And Esav killed Nimrod, and he took those garments, and that's why it says that Esav is Ish Tzayid. He was a hunter because of these garments that he had. And that's what it says in the Pasuk in Bereishis Chav Zayin, that these are the Chamudes Asha'ita Babayis, these were the garments that his mother Rivka had, that she had given to Yaakov to get the brachas. Now Rashi brings another interpretation of what are these garments of Adam Rishon. It means the kusnas ar that was given to Adam Rishon, the garments of the hide, of the skin. That's a reference to the big dish of Adam Rishon that was created Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. So similar to these lists that the Gemara brings another list. Turn Rabban. Learn the Brayse. Shiva Devar Mechusim Ne'adim. There are seven things that are concealed from man, and that nobody knows them. Elohein, they are Yom HaMisa, the day that a person is going to die. V'yem HaNechama, and the day of consolation, that every person from his own worries and his own anxieties, those that day when that's going to be finished, nobody knows that day either. V'amik HaDin, and the depth of judgment, which Rashi brings two interpretations. It either means judgments where people are constantly judging each other, that people are always making mistakes, always being judgmental in the wrong places and not coming to the proper judgment. Or it actually means the depth of the judgment, of the future judgment, when we're going to come up there after 120 years, with no one realizes the depth and the different minutiae that are going to be measured. Nobody knows, this is another thing that nobody knows. Nobody knows really what's in someone else's heart. Nobody knows where he's going to make his money. You can invest over here, do this, do that, but no one really knows where the money is going to come from. Umalchas beis David masir taksa. No one knows when the kingdom of David is going to ultimately come back. And also, umalchas chayeves, regarding this wicked kingdom, that's the wicked kingdom of Rome, that it's written regarding it, gvul risha, and the risha means that it's liable, it's for to be destroyed. Masir tichla, when it's going to be eliminated. These are the seven things that nobody knows. Turn by another list. Gimel Dvarim Olu B'machshava Libaris. It entered, so to speak, Hashem's thought to create these three things, which ultimately Hashem did. Vimlay Olu, and had it not entered Hashem's machshava, so to speak, Din Hushiyalu. It's logical that it should have entered Hashem's thought, because if not, the world would not have been able to withstand, and that is Alamesha Yisriach, regarding a corpse that it should decompose. Because as Rashi explains, because if not, the relatives would keep the dead body there, and they would constantly be seeing that sorrow and pain that they have that this person passed away, because it's going to be there in front of them. So it decomposes, so you have to bury it, you have to get rid of it, and therefore that's a bracha. Regarding the dead person that he's forgotten from the heart after a year. And regarding the grain, the produce that it rots, and that is because if not for that, then those the wealthy people, the balabatim that own the grain, they would store it and hold on to it and continue. It would be hunger in the world because they don't have to get rid of it. They would stockpile it for themselves, and therefore because it rots, they're going to have to get rid of it, and therefore that prevents hunger from the world. The Yeshem, and some say Alamat Beya Sheyetze, that the same thing applies to the currency, to a coin, that it should circulate. That is also something that was Allah b'machshavta from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's something that should have been like that because of the necessity for the commerce of the world. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again speaking about the theme of this parak regarding the minhag ha'makom of different places. So the Mishnah says, Makom shenal gulas is malacha b'tisha b'av, regarding a place that has the custom to do work on Tisha B'av, then Eisen, you're allowed to do it. However, Makom shenagu shalei las malacha, ain't Eisen, if the custom of the place is not do malacha, then you're not allowed to do malacha over there. However, b'chol makom, every place, whether the minig is yes to do malacha or not to do malacha, tamid chacham b'telem, Talmudic scholars, they are batel, they do not work on Tisha B'av on that day, whether that's the minig ha-makom or not. And on that, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, he says, "La'ilam yasa adam atzmei talmid chacham." A person should always make himself, quote, as a talmid chacham. And that is, we don't say a general concept, which is called mechti kuri. They look like a gaiva, like, who do you think you are? You're not a talmid chacham. You should be working. Rather, if he wants to not work on Tisha B'av, he's allowed to, and there's no problem that he looks like he's like holding himself higher and better than thou by not working and thinking he's on such a high level. Now the Gemara talks about this, what we're discussing now, Mishnah regarding Tisha B'Av and regarding doing malach on Tisha B'Av. Amar Shmuel says, "Ein tainis tzibur b'bavel." There is no halachic status of a public fast in Bavel, and that is since in Bavel, unlike Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't need rain, and therefore if they make a gzeirah for some other reason to make a public fast, it does not have the stringencies of a tainis tzibur which has the different minhagim that to stop eating from before day when it already gets night, they already start the tainis, and to not do malacha and other stringencies that are said regarding tainis tzibur, they do not apply in Bavel. Ela Tisha B'Av Vavad. The only one that we have in Bavel is Tisha B'Av that we have the stringencies of other tainis tzibur. Now the Gemara asks on this statement of Shmuel. Remember the Sav Shmuel test B'Av Bein Hashmasha Shaloi Aser. Is this saying that Shmuel holds that Tisha B'Av already by twilight, that it's going to be usher to eat already, to do malacha, and that is that we make the stringencies on the sveikas, on the doubtful times, which is what Bein Hashmashas is, because we said that we're comparing it to Tainas Tzibur. And since he compares Tisha B'Av to Tainas Tzibur, and the Tainas Tzibur, we say already by the suffix, by Bein Hashmashas, that it's already usher, and therefore it sounds like that he would say the same for Tisha B'Av. On that, the Gemara asks, but Mashmul B'Shmul says, Tisha B'Av Bein Hashmashas Shalei Mutter, that the twilight period of Bein Hashmashas of Tisha B'Av is Mutter. But yet here he says that it's like a Tainas Tzibur, which is Aser. On that the Gemara says, and B'chitim, if you're going to say that Ksav Shmuel, that yes, Shmuel holds, Kol Tainas Tzibur Bein Hashmashas Shalei Mutter. It's not a difficulty because yes, Tisha B'Av is like Tainas Tzibur. And all Tainas Tzibur, that it's permitted Bein Hashmashas, and therefore there's no difference regarding Tisha B'Av and Tainas Tzibur, and that's why it's not a question. But then the Gemara says you can't say that. But Vanan Tanan, but we learn the Mishnah Masechta's Tainas that says, Eichel Mesheisim Meba'id Yayim, regarding Tainas Tzibur, we say you can eat and drink when it's still day. Now, L'mu'ute Mai, what is that coming to exclude? Lav L'mu'ute Bein Hashmasha, isn't that coming to exclude regarding the time period of doubt, which is what Bein Hashmasha is? It's only when it's definite day that you could be eating, and hence we see Tainas Tzibur is also Bein Hashmasha, and therefore Tisha B'Av should be the same, because, and he's equating the two of them, yet he says Bein Hashmashas, Mutter Bein Hashmashas. Another thing where it says, Loi, Lemu'ute Mishach HaSheikha, when it says over there regarding Tainas Tzibur, that it's by day that you could eat and drink, is excluding only when it's definite night, but not to be machmer regarding the doubtful time period, and therefore, yes, Tisha B'Av is the same as the old Tainas Tzibur, that it's Mutter Bein Hashmashas, and therefore there's no difficulty on the opinion of Shmuel. And that the Gemara wants to say, Nim Masayele, let's actually bring a riot to Shmuel, that the Bein HaShemesh's time period of Tisha B'Av and Tain Sibra are mutter. Because we learned in the Brisa that says, Ein Bein Tisha B'Av L'Yem Kippurim, there is no difference between Tisha B'Av, the 9th of Av, and Yem Kippurim, which as Rashi explains, obviously we're talking about L'Ketchila initially. In other words, but if you did something wrong on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim, there's definitely a difference, because on Yom Kippurim there's Karis, and on Tisha B'Av there's only going to be an Isra Be'amah, just a transgression. However, we're talking about L'Ketchila, regarding initially what the halachas of the two of them are, there's no difference. Ela Shezeh Sviki Asa, just regarding Yom Kippurim, we say the doubtful is going to be forbidden. Bizan, regarding the doubtful of Tisha B'Av Sveke Mutter, there that's going to be Mutter. Now, my Sveke Mutter, what does it mean that on Tisha B'Av the doubtful of Tisha B'Av is Mutter? Lav Bein HaShemesh, isn't there obviously a reference to Bein HaShemesh? What else is doubtful regarding Tisha B'Av? Must be that old time period that's always doubtful. Bein HaShemesh is twilight between day and night, that there it's going to be Mutter. So you have a good raya that shows, like Shmuel, that yes, we see Tisha B'Av, Bein HaShemesh is Mutter. And then the Gemara says, Loi, no, it's no raya to Shmuel, to what we're saying now, that Shmuel would hold Bein HaShemesh is Mutter by Tanya Sibra and Tisha B'Av, because what the reference of Sveke Mutter by Tisha B'Av is, Kid Amr of Shisha B'Rida of Idi, which the Gemara is going to quote later on, Likfiya di Yarcha. It's regarding the establishment of the month, when that exactly is. In other words, in Gullis, they would make 2 days of different Yom Tovim, because they were unclear when they had made Reish Chodesh, if they made the last month an extended, an Iber, a Chodesh that has the day, a 30th day, or was it only 29 days, and it's not clear. Therefore, that's what we're saying regarding that not being clear about when Reish Chodesh is. On that is where Rav Sheshir Ber Idi talks about later on, Hachanam L'Kvid Yarchi, here we're also discussing what did we mean that the suffix of Yom Kippurim is different than the suffix of Tisha B'Av? It meant regarding this halacha about to be machmer on that suffix, regarding, because we don't know when Rish Chodesh was, for Yom Kippurim will be machmer, but on Tisha B'Av we will not be machmer, and therefore again there's no raya to Shmuel, because regarding Bein HaShemesh maybe that would be aser, and this that we say suffix is mutter on Tisha B'Av, it means regarding the suffix of when Rish Chodesh was, should we make 2 days Tisha B'Av or not, we're not going to be machmer, we're only going to make 1 day of Tisha B'Av. Darash Rava. So Rava expounded upon this topic of the tainus of Tisha B'Av, that ubrais, pregnant women, umenikis, and nursing women, misanis umashlimis, but they have to fast and complete the entire fast. Kederach shemisanis umashlimis b'Yom Kippurim, just like they fast and they complete the fast in Yom Kippurim, so too on Tisha B'Av. Ubein hashmasa shalei aser, and even the twilight period of Tisha B'Av is going to be forbidden to eat. V'chin amr mishmeid Rabbi Yechida, and so too they said this in the name of Rabbi Yechida. Now, this the Gemara asks, is it really true that Rabbi Yechon has said that the time period of Bein HaShemeshes of Tisha B'Av is forbidden to eat? But for Amr Rabbi Yechon has said, Tisha B'Av in the Ketanis Tzibur. Tisha B'Av is not like a public fast. Now, my lav, doesn't it make sense to say that he meant for the eating of Bein HaShemeshes? That although a Ketanis Tzibur is Asur Bein HaShemeshes to eat, the Tisha B'Av is not like that it's going to be mutter to eat. So how could we say Rabbi Yechonon says, the same like Rava, that you're not allowed to eat Bein HaShemeshes when it seems that he says that you are allowed to eat because it does not have the stringency of Bein HaShemeshes? And then the Gemara says, Loi, L'malacha, that what did we mean that Tisha B'Av is not like a Bein HaShemeshes? It means regarding working. That is Tisha B'Av itself, that we're saying that a Bein HaShemeshes is usher to do work, and Tisha B'Av is going to be mutter. But regarding the eating, that we didn't discuss. And that could be, as had Rava had said in the name of Rabbi Yechonon, that yes, it would be forbidden to eat in the Bein HaShemeshes of Tisha B'Av. And this that he says that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tain Sibra does not mean regarding this doubtful time period. It means regarding to Malacha, a Tain Sibra is Aser and Tisha B'Av is Mutter. The Gemara asks, Malacha Tanina, how could you say that Rabbi Yechonon's statement of saying that Tisha B'Av is not like Tain Sibra is not regarding that he holds that it's Mutter to eat Bein HaShemeshes, but rather that it's Mutter to do Malacha, but that we already learned in our Mishnah. Makom shenagu lasa malacha b'tishah b'av, we said in the place where the custom is to do malacha b'tishah b'av, you're allowed to do it. Ubemakom shenagu shloi lasa, and I said where the custom is not to do it, you don't do it, but it's permitted, and therefore we don't need Rabbi Yechonon to tell us that if we have a Mishnah. V'afilus Rabbi Shimon Gamliel laimer, and even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel did not tell us that it's usher to do malacha b'tishah b'av. Ella, rather, what he taught us was that if a person wants to, even though he's not a Talmud Chacham, he can make himself like a Talmud Chacham and to be bottle from doing work if he wants to, and it doesn't look like he's a Baal Gaiva. And the reason is, because if he's sitting and not doing work, it doesn't look like he's a Baal Gaiva, that he's holding himself in such a high madreka. And therefore, that's what he was saying, that a person could want to choose, even no matter where he is, and not do malacha. But even he didn't say it's forbidden to do malacha on Tisha B'Av. And therefore, again, if we already learned this, that malacha is permitted on Tisha B'Av, why would you need Rabbi Yochanan to teach us that? Obviously, he's telling that when we're saying that it's not like a Tainas Tibur, must be for the time period of Bein Hashmashes, that it's not like Tainas Tibur, that it's going to be permitted. So that contradicts what we said before from Yechanan, that it's usher in the time period of Bein Hashmashes to eat. Elamai Enik is Tainas Tibur. So again, so what does it mean then, if we're back to the contradiction, that Tisha B'Av is not like Tainas Tibur? So the Gemara brings three answers. The first answer is L'tfilas Ne'ila. It's regarding the Tfila of Ne'ila. And that is by Tainas Tibur, they would daven what's called Tfila of Ne'ila, which many people know from Yom Kippur, which we learned in the last parak of Masechtas Tainas, Nafchavav Manav. And three times in the year, the Kahanim do Nesias Kapayim, they do their benching, four times in the day. Shachars, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ila. And these are the three times in the year. They're Tainas Tibur's. They're what's called Mamadis, which are specific times, and Yom Kippur, which most of us know Ne'ila from. And therefore, that was only on Tainas Tibur, not on Tisha B'Av. That's what we meant. Nothing to do with the suffix of Bein Hashmashes, that Tisha B'Av is not like Tainas Tibur, that it's going to be Mutter. No, it is Asur, as Rabbi Yochanan and Rab had said, to eat in Bein Hashmashes. When we're saying Tisha B'Av is not like Tainas Tibur, is regarding Tevila and Ne'ila, that you only say it on Tainas Tibur, not on Tisha B'Av. The Rishon Gemara asks, but Bamar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said in Masechtas Brachas, Ulevai sheyisbal adam v'hilch kol yom kulei, that if only a person would daven the entire day, and that is, there's nothing wrong with adding on tefillas, that as if it would be a bracha levatala. So what do we say that ne'ila is only, which is another Shmoyne Esrei, is only by Tainas Tibur, not by Tisha B'Av? It's not true. Every single day you can daven as much as you want. You can keep on davening Shmoyne Esreis. So what are we saying that it's not by Tisha B'Av? And that thing where it says, well, it's still different. Hasim over there by Tainas Tibur, Chayvitz obligation, at least a rabbinic obligation, to have to daven Ne'ila. However, Hach over here by Tisha B'Av, Rishus, you're permitted to. But what we're teaching you is that it's not an obligation. That's what we're saying, that Tisha B'Av is not like Tainas Tibur, that you don't have to daven Ne'ila. But of course, if a person is coming in any day of the year, he's allowed to daven Ne'ila, and he could, and even it's praiseworthy to do that. He could daven as many times as he wants, according to Rabbi Yochanan. That's one interpretation. Again, for Ne'ila is what they're different. Vibay Sim, a second pshat the Gemara brings is, my Enik Itayin Sibur, what does it mean that Tisha B'Av is not like a public fast? That's Esther Ma'abra, that's for the 24 brachas that are sitting in the Shemayna Esrays on the Tainas Tibur's. As we learned in Mishnah, Masechtas Tainas, Daf Tezvav, Medalav, that they would add on by a Tainas Tibur, six brachas on the Shemayna Esrays, on the 18 brachas that they were, 18 plus 6 is 24, and that's different. That was only by Tainas Tibur, not by Tisha B'Av. Rav Papa brings the third pshat, is my Enik Itayin Sibur. What does it mean that Tisha B'Av is not like a public fast? And that is, in truth, it's like as we had assumed before, that when we say that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainas Tibur, it is regarding the time period of Bein Hashmashes. But yet, that still does not contradict Rabbi Yechanan's opinion, which is where we started this whole question from, because Rabbi Yechanan said, and Rava said, that it's forbidden to eat even by the Bein Hashmashes of Tisha B'Av. So what are we saying now when we're saying it's not like a Tainas Tibur? But how is not? Tainas Tibur is also Bein Hashmashes, and Tisha B'Av is also Bein Hashmashes. And that was saying, the statement was being said for a Chumrah, and it was saying as follows. In the Kirishoinis, what we meant that Tisha B'Av is not like a Tainas Tibur, we meant it's not like the first three of the set of fasts, the way they used to do the Tainas Tibur, there was a sets and there was phases, depending on the severity of the drought. So the first three fasts are permitted to eat in the Bein Hashmashes of those Tainas Tibur. As the Mishnah teaches in Masechtas Tainas, that they would eat and drink even once it was dark, and the fast would be on the following day. Ela kachrainis. What the statement is teaching is that when we're saying Tisha B'Av is not like the Tainas Tibur, it's not like the first Tainas Tibur, rather than like the later Tainas Tibur. Where there the Mishnah teaches that you could only eat and drink when it's still day. However, once it's Bein Hashmashes, then it's going to be Asr, and essentially, yes, then it is like Tainas Tibur. But when you said it's not like Tainas Tibur, we meant the first ones, Va'asura, and therefore it's going to be forbidden, and therefore it's not a contradiction. Yes, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, that Tisha B'Av is Asr to eat even by Bein Hashmashes. Now, basically, the Gemara asks from a Braisa that seems to contradict what Rav and Rabbi Yochanan had said. The Braisa says, "Ein bein Tisha B'Av le'Yom Kippurim." There's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim. Ella shezeh svekei aser. This, as we quoted this before, the doubt of Yom Kippurim is forbidden. Vezeh svekei mutter, and the doubt of Tisha B'Av is permitted. Now, my svekei mutter. What does it mean that the doubt of Tisha B'Av is permitted? Lav bein hashmasha shloi isn't obviously talking about what do we have doubt on Tisha B'Av? It's the doubt that we always have on the period of twilight. Now that's difficult according to Rav and Rabbi Yechanan, because they said that the bein hashmasha of Tisha B'Av is asr to eat. And yet here we see clearly that it's saying that the doubt of Tisha B'Av is going to be mutter to eat. And that the Gemara says, as we had quoted before in the Gemara, Amrav Shisha B'Rei Dav Idi Loi, L'kfiya D'Yarcha. What doubt are we saying is permitted on Tisha B'Av? It means to say the doubt of which there was Rish Chodesh. For that, we're not machmer on Tisha B'Av, but Yom Kippurim, we would be machmer. And therefore, it's no difficulty. Now, the Gemara says, Halachal Dvarim, but for all other things, Zev is Ashavin. You're telling me that then Yom Kippurim and Tisha B'Av are going to be equal. And this is what the Gemara is inferring from what we had just quoted, that we said there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim, and that is regarding initially what could be, what's forbidden on this one is forbidden on this one. And the only difference is regarding the doubt, which we had assumed was one thing, then ultimately we said regarding the day of which day is the right day for the fast, that we're makel regarding Tisha B'Av, but machmer regarding Yom Kippurim. And that the Gemara says, if all things, barring that case, are equal with Yom Kippurim and Tisha B'Av, Mishayel Rebbe Elazar, that supports what Rebbe Elazar had said. Damer Rebbe Elazar, the Rebbe Elazar said, Asa Laila Adam Mishayeshit its boy b'mayim Tisha B'Av. A person not allowed to even just dip his finger into water on Tisha B'Av. Kederech Sha'asa Laishit its boy b'mayim Kippurim. Just like you're not allowed to dip your finger into water on Yom Kippurim. So Tisha B'Av has the same halachas. So that supports, as we said before. To which the Gemara asked Meisvei, but we learned the Braisa, Ein Tisha B'Av L'tayin is Tibur. Just like we're saying there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim, we're saying there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and a public fast. Now the Gemara assumes now that that's both for the leniencies and for the stringencies. So obviously we're saying that Tisha B'Av is not more stringent than a Tainus Tibur. Ella, the only difference is, Shezeh Asa Basis Malacha, that a Tainus Tibur is forbidden to do work on, Vezeh Mutta Basis Malacha B'Makam Shenago. However, Tisha B'Av is permitted to do Malacha in a place where the custom is to do Malacha. Now, so halachal devarim zebezer shavim. So that sounds like that, but for everything else, besides this case of malacha, Tisha B'Av and Tainus Tibur are the same. However, ve'ila gabe Tainus Tibur tanya, but regarding a Tainus Tibur, we had learned in the Braisa, kisha amru us berachitza, when they said that it's forbidden to bathe on a Tainus Tibur, le'amru el kol gufi, they only said it regarding the person's entire body. Of a pun of yodav raglav loy, but regarding his just doing his face or his hands or his feet separately, that's not going to be forbidden. So how do we understand that? So Tisha B'Av is like Tainus Tibur, which means to say it's only the entire body. Yet we're saying that Tisha B'Av is in Yom Kippurim, which even the finger dipping in is Aser. How do we resolve that? Rav Papa says, we continue on top of Nun Hayim and Aleph, that Tana Kule Kule Katani. What the Tana was saying, he was saying all the leniencies, as Rashi explains. When we were saying all these Ein Bains, that there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippurim, there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Tainus Tibur, it was really one Tana that was saying all these Ein Bains, and he was saying all the leniencies. And at first he said that Tisha B'Av is not going to be more lenient than Yom Kippurim initially, only regarding that the suffix of each one, as we said, that was regarding Kviyat D'Yarcha. Then at the end he said that there's no difference between Tisha B'Av and Tainus Tibur. That means that Tisha B'Av is not more lenient than Tainus Tibur, only regarding Malacha. However, regarding the stringencies of Tisha B'Av, in contrast to Tainus Tibur, that he wasn't talking about to infer, oh, that means they're obviously the same. And therefore, in truth, really, regarding bathing, Tisha B'Av is more stringent than Tainus Tibur. It wasn't for everything that it's the same as Tainus Tibur. When they're saying all these Ein Bains, it meant regarding the leniencies that Tisha B'Av has in contrast to these times of Yom Kippurim and of Tainus Tibur. And regarding that, there's only one difference. But regarding Tisha B'Av having stringencies over them, that's possible. And therefore, there is a stringency of Tisha B'Av over Tainus Tibur. Specifically regarding, as that opinion we had said before, that it's similar to Yom Kippurim, and that just like an I'll dip your finger in water on Yom Kippurim, so too on Tisha B'Av, and that it does have a stringency over Tainus Tibur.